From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked Hong Kong investors to support Nusantara development. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin expects Southwest Papua bill ratification to speed up the issuance of the government regulation in lieu of the law. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Friday invited investors from Hong Kong to take part in the development of the new Indonesian capital, IKN, in East Kalimantan as a green city. Hong Kong investors can participate in developing infrastructure, transportation, green energy, digital transformation, and value-added industries. This was pointed out by Indonesian President Joko Widodo during a meeting with the chief executive of the Special Administrative Region of Hong Kong, John Lee, on the sidelines of the APEC Economic Leaders Meeting in Bangkok, Thailand on Friday. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has said he expects the ratification of the Southwest Papua Province Bill to speed up the issuance of the government regulation in lieu of the law, or Perpu, concerning general elections. As reported by Antara during a visit to Semarang City, Central Java Province on Friday, he stated that had the bill not been ratified, the government would have had to postpone the general elections in Southwest Papua Province till 2025, instead of holding them simultaneously with other provinces in 2024. During a plenary session on Thursday, the House of Representatives passed the law on the establishment of Southwest Papua Province, making it the 38th province in Indonesia. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Bintang Puspayoga, who has said investment in children is most valuable and irreplaceable for the development of a region. The most valuable investment in a region is quality human resources, namely children. This was conveyed by Minister Puspayoga at a lunch event ahead of the 2022 World Children's Day commemoration in Manado, North Sulawesi, on Friday. The last national news comes from the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment and PT Trimegah Bangun Persada that have worked to jointly rehabilitate mangroves under a corporate social responsibility program in North Maluku. Indonesia has great carbon credit potential, especially in coastal areas, and has tropical rainforests, peatlands, mangroves, and seaweeds. This was pointed out by Deputy for Management Coordination of Environment and Forestry at the Ministry, Nani Hendiarti in Ternate on Friday, as quoted by Antara. Now we move to the international news. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un vowed his country would respond to nuclear threats with nuclear weapons, state media reported Saturday, a day after Pyongyang test-fired an intercontinental ballistic missile. As reported by VOA.com, the official KCNA news agency said Kim observed Friday's missile launch alongside his wife and daughter. The news agency quoted him saying the test confirmed that North Korea has another reliable and maximum capacity weapon. The leaders in China and Japan agreed to resume high-level dialogue and increase exchanges on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Bangkok this week. But experts are questioning how much progress the two made in easing the long-standing friction between their countries. As reported by VOA.com, in the 45-minute exchange, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and President Xi Jinping agreed to build a constructive and stable relationship and promote cooperation in environment protection, energy savings, and healthcare, and resume bilateral high-level economic dialogue. We end the news with Vice President of the United States Kamala Harris announced on a visit Saturday that the United States will help Thailand develop nuclear power through a new class of small reactors, part of a program aimed at fighting climate change. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the White House said the assistance was part of its Net Zero World Initiative, a project launched at last year's Glasgow Climate Summit, in which the U.S. partners with the private sector and philanthropists to promote clean energy. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The first news comes from North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. A number of G20 delegates visited North Lombok Regency on the sidelines of the 2022 Indonesian Presidency G20 activities in Bali. The delegates, who came from Ukraine, Poland, Argentina, Denmark, Australia, and Brazil, visited Ganggelang Village, Gangga District in North Lombok. They met volunteer groups concerned with the environment and disaster, as well as tourism awareness group. During the visit, the delegates also signed a memorandum of understanding with the provincial government of West Nusa Tenggara regarding the use of electric cars in order order to protect the world's climate. The next news comes from Jember, East Java. Thousands of students and their parents played angklung, a traditional Indonesian musical instrument made of bamboo, together and succeeded in breaking the Indonesian World Record Museum or MURI record with a total of 3,364 participants. The event was held in the main square of Jember Regency, East Java on Wednesday. The activity held by Maria Fatima Catholic Middle School coincided with the Angklung Day, which was established after UNESCO's recognition of Angklung as Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity on November 16, 2010. Jember Region Hendy Siswanto appreciated all participants from educators, parents, and children who played Angklung together. According to him, Gebyar Angklung is a local wisdom that synergizes with preserving traditional Indonesian musical instruments that are unique by combining differences into a beautiful harmony. The latest news comes from Probolinggo, East Java. The Probolinggo Regency Government, East Java, last Tuesday held an electric motorbike convoy along with local regional leadership communication forum as a form of support for the successful G20 summit in Bali. The convoy using electric motorbikes was led by Deputy Regent of Probolinggo, Timbul Prihanjoko. They crossed a number of protocol roads in Probolinggo Regency. According to the region, the electric vehicle convoy is no less important in responding to suggestions from the central government to start switching to environmentally friendly vehicles in the form of electric motorbikes. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on November 19, 1942, Battle of Stalingrad. The major battle in World War II between Nazi Germany and its allies against the Soviet Union took place to control Stalingrad City, now Volgograd, in South Russia or the eastern border of Europe. The battle started at close range and direct attacks on civilians by airstrike. The event is often considered the largest and bloodiest battle in the history of warfare. The German offensive for the capture of Stalingrad began in late summer 1942 using the 6th Army and elements of the 4th Panzer Army. In mid-November 1942, the Germans pushed the Soviet defenders back at great cost to become a narrow zone generally along the west bank of the Volga River. Then on November 19, 1942, the Soviet Union's Red Army launched a counter-offensive Operation Uranus. This two-pronged attack targeted the small Romanian and Hungarian forces protecting the German 6th Army. Let's move to another event of November 19, when Pele scored the 1,000 goal. On November 19, 1969, the Brazilian football player Edson Arantes do Nascimento, or better known as Pele, successfully scored 1,000 goals. During his career, Pele managed to bring the Brazilian national team to win the World Cup three times, first in 1958 in Sweden, second in 1962 in Chile, and third in 1970 in Mexico. Due to his success, the Brazilian national team is entitled to the Jules Rimet Cup. Pele also got a nickname, or Rei, or the King. We end today in history with the event of November 19, 1977, when President Anwar Sadat visited Israel. Egyptian President Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat was the first leader from a country in the Arab region who visited Israel officially. He went there to meet Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, and he spoke before the Israeli Parliament, Knesset Jerusalem, to seek a permanent peace settlement. President Anwar Sadat is a retired army officer with the last rank of Major General. The man who was born in Mit Abu al-Qum al-Minufiyah, Egypt on December 25, 1918, is also known as a senior politician. He served as the third president of Egypt on October 15, 1970, until he was killed on October 6, 1981. By the Western world, Anwar is considered a very influential person in Egypt and the Middle East in modern history. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on President Joko Widodo and New Zealand Prime Minister discuss bilateral issues and regional cooperation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a meeting with New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC Summit, series in Bangkok, Thailand on Friday, November the 18th. On this occasion, they discussed bilateral issues related to economic relations, energy transition, and regional cooperation. President Joko Widodo invited Prime Minister Ardern to push for the implementation of the Indonesia-New Zealand Comprehensive Partnership Action Plan, especially for increased trade, On this occasion, President Joko Widodo also appreciated the opening of direct flights from New Zealand to Bali by Air New Zealand Airlines. President Joko Widodo emphasized that both parties need to encourage market access for trade between the two countries, especially in agricultural commodities, minerals, iron and steel, and plastics, as well as cooperation in agriculture and halal certification. Regarding the issue of energy transition, the Indonesian head of state invited New Zealand businessmen to work together to exploit the potential of Indonesia's geothermal reserves. This effort is part of the government's steps in encouraging the national energy transition. On the issue of regional cooperation, the two leaders discussed development in regional dynamics in the Indo-Pacific. President Joko Widodo disclosed Indonesia's chairmanship's plan in ASEAN in 2023, which will take the theme ASEAN Matters, Epicentrum of Growth. He emphasized Indonesia's commitment to take advantage of the momentum of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN Chair, in 2023 to increase ASEAN engagement with Pacific countries. President Joko Widodo wants New Zealand to become a bridge connecting the partnership between ASEAN and the Pacific in the Indo-Pacific region. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Ardern congratulated Indonesia on holding the chair of ASEAN in 2023 and stated she was ready to support Indonesia. The Prime Minister also hoped that cooperation between ASEAN and the Pacific could be focused on supporting the efforts of Pacific countries to deal with climate change. On the bilateral meeting, President Joko Widodo also extended an invitation to New Zealand to participate in the Indo-Pacific Forum for Development, which will be held in December 2022, and the Indo-Pacific Infrastructure Forum, which is one of the flagship events at Indonesia's chair in ASEAN in 2023. At the end of the meeting, Prime Minister Ardern also expressed her appreciation for the success of Indonesia's G20 presidency. That was my Indonesia Today.
Metanoia jadi gol sewaktu terbunuh di hujan peluru bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah That's why I'm grateful. Yeah. Grace overwhelming, my God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. What? There is no turning back again this time. Yes.
mampu berikan asa.
Biarlah atasku kau berkuasa,
engkau yang kupuja.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Kompiang, typical bread from East Nusa Tenggara. East Nusa Tenggara, Labuan Bajo has not only beautiful natural scenery, but also interesting original snacks to eat. One of them is Kompiang Roti, also known as Kompiang Longa. The bread has a round or oval shape and has a brownish color like the color of bread in general. Listener, Kompiang Longa is usually sprinkled with wijen on top. The word longa itself in the Manggarai Flores local language means sesame. Historically, this food first appeared in Ruteng City around 1983. The bread was served before world leaders who attended the G20 Sherpa in Labuan Bajo, Nusa Tenggara Province. It is nice to enjoy coffee or tea. Time after time, Kompiang bread has various stuff such as chocolate, tuna, beef, chicken, banana, and cheese. The texture of Kompiang tends to be harder than ordinary bread, making it more suitable for dipping into beverages. Listener, in past times, the production of this bread took up to 12 hours because it was still made traditionally. This bread is cooked over a fire and cooked at night. Usually, this Kompiang bread is only served on family occasions. But time after time, Kompiang bread can also be enjoyed at leisure and can even be a souvenir that must be brought by tourists because it can last for 3 days when placed in an open space and 7 days when stored in a refrigerator. Listener, if you visit Indonesia, particularly Labuan Bajo, please take your time to taste Kompiang bread with hot tea or coffee. The price of Kompiang bread is worth 7,000 rupiah per piece. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
You have that. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOA listener, today's edition of Miscellany talks about Sirita technology for South Coast tsunami mitigation. Because Indonesia's territory is on a ring of fire with all the effects, like it or not, devices are needed to detect all seismic activities, both on the land and at the sea. Then the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, has developed early tsunami detection. Head of the agency, Professor Dwi Korita Karnawati, said there are two innovative products related to the early warning system. These are very suitable for the densely populated southern coastal areas of Java. The two BMKG innovations are the EWS radio broadcaster and the Sirens for rapid information on tsunami alert or Sirita application. Both are BMKG's response to the increase in seismic activities in Indonesia. The Early Warning System, or EWS radio broadcaster, is an old device that is a verbal dissemination mode and is based on traditional radio waves. Indonesian Inter-Inhabitation Radio Disaster Activists and the Indonesian Radio Amateur Organization, or ORARI, will join the EWS Radio Broadcaster Network. Meanwhile, Sirita is an Android-based tsunami siren to facilitate and speed up the government in conveying evacuation orders to people in disaster areas. As a form of warning of an impending tsunami, the cell phone that has the Sirita application installed will sound loudly like a siren. If the BMKG issues an early warning of a potential tsunami, early warning with cell phone sirens is also considered to reach residents faster because cell phones are personal items that are always near their owners. In addition, the BMKG has also operated various equipment to quickly detect tsunami symptoms. The equipment that was installed may trace various coastal areas of Indonesia which are prone to tsunamis. The device is generally called the Indonesia Tsunami Early Warning System, or INATUS. It can be in the form of a buoy that can detect sea level changes, or a tomograph that can capture seawater vibrations. Through the satellite wave channel, the monitoring equipment can send field data to the BMKG in real time. Thus, the BMKG can send information immediately to local governments if there is a potential for a tsunami and evacuation measures are needed. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Dan gembira di tengah pesta, aku lihat si dia lincah gayanya dan masa kini ingin hatiku mencium pipinya, tapi malu rasanya. Oh hip hip hura hura, hura hura, aku
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled 10 November by Indra Utami Tamsir. The song tells about the spirit of struggle shown by the heroes who bravely fought to defend the independence of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia from the hands of the invaders who again tried to seize Indonesia. The song is entitled 10 November, which means November 10th, because it is the historical date of Indonesia and every November 10th is commemorated as National Heroes Day. Alright listener, here is Indra Utami Tamsir with the keroncong song 10 November. Enjoy the song!
Thank you. sejarah mencatat Dharma bangkiru harum namamu patriot bangsa pahlawan Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.
Thank you.